be punished in Jahannam, in the hellfire, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, eternally,
yes.
forever.
Yes.
وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will curse this person, وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and provided for him عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, the great, or let's say the major azab and punishment. So this is what we see, and that is explicitly mentioned in the Holy Quran, that this is, if someone commit suicide, it is like this, that he killed all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why in the Holy Quran it is mentioned that if someone kills himself or herself, he will be eternally punished in the hellfire.
Yes.
And the major punishment will be provided for this person in hellfire by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So you mean for sure there would be no forgiveness?
Exactly, no.
Okay, so this is one of the major sins in Islam. Now the question is that, Shaykh, about the whiness, okay? Mm-hmm. Religiously speaking, okay, that's true. But according to Islamic beliefs, why committing suicide is considered as becomes an unlawful or illegitimate action in Islam?
The same way that killing others is not allowed, you know?
Uh-huh.
The same thing is not allowed for ourselves as well. Because of what? Because you see, from the Islamic perspective, this life, this body, this hayat that we are provided with by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all like amana. You know, amanatullahi ta'ala.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala temporarily provided us with these, let's say, golden ni'mat.
Yes.
So these are all belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to us.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You mean Allah's creation?
The creation of us,
yes.
the body that we have,
yes.
all the organs that we have, they work all for us by the permission of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer and the provider.
Mm-hmm.
And He is the only one that He can order us what to do with this body, what to do with this life, and what not to do. Because these things do not belong to us. They The owner of them are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you explicitly that you're not allowed to do anything wrong with your own self, then when you kill yourself, it is like this, that you disobey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His orders. So that's why you will deserve punishment.
Yes.
This is the first point. The other point is that, when people commit suicides, they are mostly very much hopeless from the rahmah, from the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is again a major sin.
Okay.
If someone becomes completely hopeless from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is itself a kind of major sin. Then when he commits suicide, killing himself based on this hopelessness, again it is another great and major sin. Since when you kill someone, it is like this, that you kill whole humanity, then of course the punishment that you deserve is a very great punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That is the eternal kind of punishment that you will deserve.
That's all right. If you help someone to commit suicide, would it be considered as a major sin or not?
For
example, nowadays there are some schools of thoughts, or for example, some artistic formats around the world which encourage the people indirectly to do suicide. Are they doing a haram action or not?
Why not? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for example,
through art, literature, or something like
that. Yes, of course.
Okay.
When you deceive someone, you play a satanic role.
Uh-huh.
Satan is the one who deceives the people. So this deception or this temptation that you make on the people's mind and mentality, that is a satanic act which deserves punishment. That's why the one who helps someone in doing something wrong, he is also responsible. Nowadays, if you go to the court and if someone tell the judge that, of course, I didn't do that, rather these people or this man or this woman, they, for example, forced me, or they, for example, made me to do this thing wrong,
mm-hmm.
then, of course, that one is also responsible.
Yes.
This is in the day of judgment, in the day of justice, the day of judgment, which is the manifestation of divine justice. And that day, of course, this person will be also considered among the wrongdoers because they deceived this person to
That's
do
right.
that wrong thing.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Now let's get to the world of Islam. According to the statistics, the rate of committing suicide in Muslim lands is very much lower than the other parts of the world. From one side, this is because of the belief, and from the other side, it's because of the spiritual calmness and sukoon and tranquility that is obtained through religious teachings. How much do you think the religion of Islam can solve the problems of those people who decide to commit suicide all across the world? Are there any practical guidelines in Islam to help the people? Because, nowadays all across the world, those people who had failed in commitment suicide, they have been saved from the experience of the suicide, they go to the therapist in order to be, discouraged from committing suicide for the second time again, or in order to be given consultation for having a good life, a fruitful life in front of them. How do you think the religion of Islam can help such people around the world?
The one who commits suicide, it is because of his wrong opinions. It is because of his wrong viewpoint or worldview. If you correct, if you help him or her to correct these mistakes in their worldviews, then of course you would help him not to commit suicide. You know why? Because from anthropological perspective, we know that human beings are provided with soul and nafs. Nafs is something immaterial from yes. Islamic perspective.
Yes.
And since it is immaterial, it has a kind of unlimited capacity. Unlimited
yes.
capacity.
Yes.
This unlimited capacity requires unlimited bounties, unlimited ni'amat and blessings.
Yes.
Which cannot be found in this material world, because this material world is limited.
Yes.
And your desires are unlimited.
Yes.
Then how can you reconcile between these two things?
Mm-hmm.
If sometimes you cannot meet all what you need, then of course you will commit suicide. You say that, okay, I want this much, for example, wealth, this much power, this much knowledge, this much life, hayat, pleasures, these and that thing, but I cannot find them in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, sometimes you might tell yourself that let's test death.
Yes.
Because I am not satisfied with this okay. world, with this worldly life, with this earthly life. If I am not satisfied, then what can satisfy me? It could be death.
Yes.
Because I can put an end to these endless desires that I cannot fulfill them and I cannot, meet them. So that is why you commit suicide. But the point is that even suicide cannot help you.
Mm-hmm.
Here the best idea is this, that to correct your worldview. You have to correct that misunderstanding, this misconception about the universe,
yes,
about the world, about your role, your position,
yes,
the material world, the immaterial world,
mm-hmm.
the role of angels, the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hereafter life, the paradise and hell. All these things, if you better understand what the universe is, what the creation is,
okay.
what your life is, what your responsibility in this world is,
yes.
what are those things that you can find in this material world, and what are those things that you can never find them in these material worlds, and you have to find them in hereafter life and another phase of your life, then of course this kind of better or correct worldview, that it can help you to better live in this world and to better enjoy from the pleasures of this life, this material and temporary life. These are the recommendations or suggestions that are provided us with by the Holy Quran and by the Islamic teachings and doctrines. They are really useful and helpful. If you cannot correct someone's wrong ideas, wrong, let's say, worldview, you may not be able to stop him from
That's
committing
right.
suicide, yes.
Okay, and we could find in most developed countries, for example, United States of America, has got one of the highest rates of suicide Japan too, you know,
yes.
And thus all developed countries. And sometimes in Japan, you know, the reasons for suicide are absolute perfectionism. For example, idealism and perfectionism, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Depression is another,
yes,
or mental disorder is another one. Rape,
yes,
unfortunately,
yes,
in fact, is another one. There are so many disorders in the developed countries that show they are the main,
yes,
reasons for committing suicide.
Yeah, something that is really ironic in nowadays life, in the modern life, is this, that sometimes, according to the statistics they provide us with, there are some best, let's say, the most developed countries, mm-hmm. in which the people are provided with the best, let's say, qualities of life.
Yes.
But at the same time, we see that in that society, within that people, numberless people commit suicides.
Yes.
It's really ironic.
Yes.
What happens in their mind? What,
yes,
happens in their, let's say, mentality that they commit suicide? While they are provided with all those facilities, the best qualities of facilities that people need in now in modern life.
Yes.
The point is that anthropological issue, that since we do not have a good understanding, a good perception of our own self.
Yes.
A good perception of our world.
Yes.
Our nature, or let's say, earthly life and the hereafter life. Then that's why we cannot reconcile between,
yes,
all these problems or,
mm-hmm,
disharmony,
yes,
that you rightly mentioned. These disorders and disharmony that we see in our life, in our existence,
yes,
in our nature, in the world. Finally, we might decide that, okay, I cannot solve any of these problems.
Mm-hmm. Without any hope in Almighty Allah or spirituality, you know?
Yes, because,
yes,
nowadays in this material
lifestyle
that we have in the West, they do not see anything beyond this material world, beyond,
mm-hmm,
this natural world.
Yes.
That's why they say that, okay, in this material world, if this is the reality, if this is the haqiqah and the truth,
mm-hmm,
in this material world, in this natural, let's say, world, I found nothing to satisfy me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no anything satisfactory in this material life, then why should I continue,
okay,
this life? Then why should I tolerate all these problems, all these sufferings, you know?
Yes. Okay.
And the best way is to release myself from these problems.
Mm-hmm.
But this is wrong, you know?
This is wrong.
This is a wrong idea.
Wrong. That's
in,
right,
both this world and the hereafter world, mm-hmm, they will have a very bad kind of punishment.
That's all right. Okay. We got about 1-2 minutes. Just answer this question. According to Islamic laws, is euthanasia or mercy killing allowed or not? For example, some people have some diseases that is incurable, like cancer or something like that. Through euthanasia or mercy killing, they're gonna, for example, finish their own lives by themselves or by their permission and in the hands of the doctors and the physicians. Is this a kind of suicide, and is it allowed in Islam or not?
You know, in this kind of questions, the people should refer to their own maraja, you know, because there,
uh-huh,
might be different views.
I mean, the majority of them, do they approve?
Mostly, we are not allowed to kill someone.
Uh-huh.
Neither the physicians.
Even through mercy killing?
No, neither, okay, the physicians, the doctors, nor the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because life only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
He will decide.
Okay.
Either to let this person die or let this person to not to die.
That's
and
right.
Leave. We do not have such a permission.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in some very specific cases,
mm-hmm,
it should be asked from maraja,
maraja,
for example. If sometimes death is something, what you can say, certainly happened to that person, you,
yes,
know, there's no any hope for example, this person to leave, but at the same time, he is suffering a lot from lots of,
mm-hmm,
what we can say, problems, yeah? In this kind of, or hardships, in this kind of cases, maybe in some specific cases, it might be allowed, but generally, no.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the negative aspects and dimensions of the concept of suicide, al-intihar, you know, in Islam, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consider the greatest punishments, or it's better to say the severest punishments, for those people who commit suicide. It was very kind of Sheikh.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa حسن.
In the limelight.
The Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention has issued an active genocide alert over the situation for Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians across Palestine, the Lemkin Institute said earlier this month. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, recently, violence against Palestinians escalated sharply as large groups of Israeli settler mobs launched attacks on at least 17 Palestinian villages following the disappearance of an Israeli teenager. Zionist settlers killed thousands of chickens and dozens of sheep and stole others. They blocked entrances to villages, set Palestinian homes on fire, burnt hundreds of olive trees, injured dozens of Palestinians with live ammunition, and destroyed private Palestinian property, including cars and livestock pens. Zionist settlers were often accompanied and protected by the Israeli regime military. In total, between April 12th and 15th, seven Palestinians were murdered in the occupied West Bank, including at least two children. Palestinian human rights groups Al-Haq, Al-Mizan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights recently urged the international community, private actors, and businesses to respond to the widespread violent attacks against Palestinians and their property across the West Bank. Before October 7th, violence in the West Bank was already on pace to eclipse that of any year on record, the Lemkin Institute said, adding, with Israeli military forces killing roughly 200 Palestinians in the West Bank in the first 9 months of 2023. After the Zionist regime began its campaign of slaughter in the Gaza Strip, violence by Israeli regime settlers and the regime itself against Palestinians reached its peak in the West Bank. This made 2023 the deadliest year in the occupied West Bank since the UN monitoring group OCHA began recording casualties in 2005. The Lemkin Institute said, Israeli military forces continue a campaign of genocide and unprecedented violence in the West Bank. On April 12th, a 14-year-old Zionist settler went missing near the village of Al-Mughayr near Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, despite no evidence linking the boy's disappearance or death to Palestinians. Hundreds of settlers launched their rampage against Palestinian villages and communities in the West Bank on April 12th and 13th. He was found dead the next day near the settlement outpost of Malachai HaShalom, which was constructed on private Palestinian land in 2015. The Israeli regime army labeled it a terrorist attack as soon as he was found dead, igniting violence from settler mobs against Palestinians. Under the watchful eye and protection of the Israeli regime army, some 1,500 to 2,000 settlers, some of whom were armed, stormed the village of Al-Mughayr over 2 days, Palestinian human rights groups said. Jihad Afif Abu Alia, 25, was murdered during these attacks. He was shot in his head while protecting one of the homes targeted by Zionist settlers' attacks. The group said, when Jihad was shot, He was among a group of around 25 to 27 Palestinians on the rooftop of a Palestinian home, which was surrounded by around 400 Israeli settlers. Settlers continue to fire at Palestinians as they attempt to evacuate Abu Alia for medical attention, leaving him to bleed for 30 minutes. Zionist settlers completely burnt at least 14 homes and partially burnt 15 others in Al-Mughayr. They also completely destroyed more than a dozen livestock pens and partially burnt four. Settlers also set fire to around 60 vehicles in the village. Settlers from the Beit El settlement also attacked the nearby village of Beitin on April 13th, where they set fires and vandalized Palestinian property. Palestinian residents of the village tried to confront the settlers to defend their community. The settlers fired live ammunition at them. Among those responding to distress calls was Omar Ahmad Abdul Ghani Hamed, a 17-year-old high school senior and the youngest of his siblings. Recently, a group of Zionist settlers opened fire on Palestinians in the village of Beitin, northeast of Ramallah, killing 17-year-old Omar Ahmad Abdul Ghani Hamed with a bullet to the forehead. He was shot in the head just as he arrived to the scene of the attack. The bullet entered his forehead and exited from the back, according to the Defense for Children International Palestine, which conducts field investigations of the killing of Palestinian children. He was pronounced dead shortly afterward. That same day, Zionist settlers launched violent attacks in Douma, Usra and Sawiya, villages south of Nablus in the occupied West Bank. They set fire to 300 olive trees, destroyed livestock sheds and killed 40 sheep, as well as over 10,000 chickens, Palestinian rights groups said. In Douma, hundreds of armed settlers accompanied by Israeli regime troops opened fire on Palestinian residents. The Palestine Red Crescent Society reported that at least five village residents sustained injuries from live ammunition, knife attacks, and physical assaults. The Palestinian human rights groups reported these latest attacks have resulted in the forcible displacement of five families from Douma and another five families from Qusra whose homes have been rendered completely uninhabitable due to these acts of arson. Meanwhile, during a military incursion on April 15th into Rafidia, a neighborhood in the eastern part of the city of Nablus, an Israeli troop shot and killed a Palestinian teenager, striking him in the head from a short distance. An Israeli troop inside a heavily armored military vehicle fatally shot 17-year-old Yazan Muhammad Fawzi Shataya in the chest from a distance of 20 to 30 meters in Nablus recently. The Zionist troop opened fire from inside a heavily armored military vehicle at Yazan Muhammad Shataya 17 while he was allegedly throwing stones at the Zionist regime troops along with other Palestinian youths. 1 week before, on April 8, the Zionist regime forces shot and killed a teenage Palestinian girl at Tayasir checkpoint near Tubas, northeast of Nablus. Asma Emad Saad Daragme, 17, was allegedly attempting to carry out a stabbing attack when the Zionist regime forces shot her several times at a distance of around 10 meters, and that's according to DCIP. The Zionist regime forces refused to allow Palestinian medics to reach or treat Asma, the human rights group said, leaving her to die. DCIP said Asma laid on the ground at the checkpoint, bleeding heavily, according to eyewitnesses. The Zionist regime forces then confiscated her body. The fabricated regime of Israel has been routinely conducting prolonged military raids in towns, cities, and refugee camps across the West Bank, particularly in the north. The Zionist regime military raids often include highly destructive attacks on infrastructure, with the Zionist regime bulldozers damaging water pipes, roads, and power facilities. The Zionist regime army has also been conducting aerial attacks in the occupied West Bank, a practice it revived from the Second Intifada 2 decades ago. Israeli regime troops have killed at least 435 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, including 112 children, since October 7th. Additionally, Israeli settlers have killed at least 10 Palestinians, and another 6 were killed by either Israeli army or settler fire, according to documentation by UN Monitoring Group OCHA. The Zionist regime forces have injured nearly 4,900 Palestinians in the West Bank since October 7th.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to the Israel Watch, which has been monitoring recent developments, including the repercussions of the Iranian attack on the entity and the Israeli response, as well as the failure of the aggression on Gaza to undermine the resistance and break the steadfastness of Gazans, in addition to the state of anxiety resulting from the situation the entity faces. I'd like to go ahead and welcome our guest today, Dr. Ahmed Ashabi, a political analyst, to our show today. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Let's begin today with the Hebrew media, which has focused on the allegations of a Zionist response to the Iranian attack in Isfahan. The enemy's media not only adopted these allegations, but also built on them to warn of a possible Iranian response. Well, Doctor, what is the Zionist objective in promoting these allegations about a response to the Iranian attack in such an unconvincing manner?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I've been following the news since early in the morning, and we're following different media outlets, and there is no evidence of an attack, an Israeli attack on the Iranian soil. There are some information about the coming from Iran about some small drones that are local, that are minimal. Actually, they don't actually create any damage, and they were there. They're used usually for civilian objectives, not for military objectives, the type of drones. These are the preliminary information that just came out. When it comes to the Israeli media sources, well, there's a lot of talk, but there's no evidence, nothing concrete. So it's just petty talk, and it's absolutely puzzling, because usually when you do such a response, you do it in a spectacular way because you want to give this illusion to the settlers and the Israelis.
Well, actually, Doctor, like you're saying, the word you're using here is illusion. Many people have been trying to find a word to this attack. I do want to ask you, do you think these allegations could be an exit for Netanyahu's government from the response crisis that they have been experiencing ever since the Iranian attack?
Well, obviously, I mean, there were so many prime ministers, presidents of allied countries to the Israeli entity have been advising Israel not to respond, and therefore he wants to keep it at a minimum level. But that seems too minimal, and there is no indication that these planes came from the occupied Palestine in the first place. So, I mean, that will backfire against Netanyahu, because it will create more fears. So settlers and Israelis will have more fear, because they will say, oh, this is the response by our military capacity? It is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, Doctor, actually, it's a great time right now to go ahead and add something that's been buzzing everywhere. Where, on the other hand, Ben-Gvir saw that the alleged Zionist response to Iran was nothing but a mockery, which raised concerns among the security apparatuses in the entity. Do you believe it was a good idea for Ben-Gvir to comment in the first place?
I think that his comment, yes, it will create damage. They had fear on this television program that he will create damage. Well, the damage has already been done because, you know, they thought that even if they would, do such, have some news that they attacked Iran, that Iran will react emotionally, or Iran will speed up its response in an emotional and brutal and violent way. Well, they didn't understand how the Iranian system works.
Exactly. He described it as a mockery, and it seems that he became the center of this mockery.
Exactly. And the Iranians do not take things lightly. The Iranians want to actually know all the details about this attack before deciding what to do. And until now, all the information that is available to the Iranians, who have actually, checked out the whole locations there, and who have been, watching any Israeli military move towards Iran. Well, until now, the information is that there is no attack from Israel on Iranian soil. This is, a local thing that was done locally.
Yes.
And it is a repetition of what has been done before, because Iran had been subject to a lot of crimes, that targeted civilian scientists,
exactly.
University
They've
professors.
They've been through exactly a lot, and as a first time of their attack, I believe only one question here. How do you interpret his position as a member of the War Council refusing to attack Iran?
Yes, well, this position and the position we showed a bit earlier with Ben-Gvir, these two, and the position of Europeans and Americans, pressuring Israel not to respond, these are all indications of the large schism and divisions between the Israelis, and that's a new feature in the confrontation with the Israeli enemy. That has not happened before in previous wars. For the first time, the Israelis have divisions between them, have divisions and differences with the Americans and with their European allies.
Actually, that you're mentioning the U.S. European, do you believe that Israel's such a small response was because of the U.S. European pressure?
I think it was a response like that because, Netanyahu said he would respond and that he didn't want to go back on his word.
So he had to do it no matter what.
And he had to do it no matter what. But I think the results will be, I dare to say that they're catastrophic. Because on the Israelis themselves, because
it's such a very
as
good
I said
point
in
there,
the
doctor.
Beginning, the settlers and the Israelis will not believe that the Israeli army and the Israeli military has capacity and the power to defend them from another Iranian attack.
Is Eitan Ben-Eliahu actually proposing a retaliation to Iran in Gaza?
Well, that's what he's saying. I think, and that's again a sign of weakness. I mean, they want to go on and expand the genocide. I mean, and we were looking at this equipment that the Israelis have. They have the most advanced technology and equipment, but they just don't know how to use it.
And Biden today mentioned he's going to be sending over more, correct?
Yeah, well, and Ursula von der Leyen said that she wants to develop the actual European capacity in order to confront, the the Iranian danger. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Iran had responded legitimately to an attack that it was subject to on its embassy in Damascus. It did
just one of the attacks, not to mention the previous
but
ones.
But Iran responded in a way that was in line with international law. It targeted military facilities. It gave an early warning, and it was a totally legitimate and proportionate attack. And I think this is outstanding because this shows this political and diplomatic maturity by the Islamic Republic in Iran. And for the first time, it showed this weakness, this unprecedented weakness of the Israeli entity,
that finally,
and the unprecedented divisions within the Israeli community and, and political,
which actually, community. Doctor, like you're mentioning, was something the whole world saw this time. Why do you believe, as we have seen repetitively, why does Israeli army lie and conceal the real losses of the previous Iranian attack?
Well, they wanted to say that, the Iranian attack was insignificant, and that was their objective. And now they're faced with the truth. They have, again, this contributes to more schisms and more differences, and they are completely confused. I mean, they don't know how to deal with this. Although there's a one important fact that they know and everybody knows is that Iran spent a few million dollars on this attack. I mean, these were first generation, drones and planes and cruise missiles. They were not like advanced, the most advanced.
Locally made.
They were locally made, and of course, and the more advanced are also locally made. But these were the old ones, the old models. And that was what Iran spent, and spent a few million dollars, whereas the Israelis spent, according to them, more than $1.35 billion to counter that attack. And in addition to that, what is more valuable that Iran gained, it's Iran actually knows now how the Israelis and what capacity
they
have.
And as we know, this is a new generation of warfare.
Yes, and they know, the Iranian intelligence and army now know how the Israelis would respond if another attack will occur. So the next attack, and we hope it will never happen, because we hope the Israelis will leave Palestine and give back the land to those who actually own it. But if there will be an upcoming attack, then the Israelis will feel it, and this time they will feel it really hard.
Well, Doctor, what is your opinion on some Zionist commentators linking Israel's response to the Iranian attack with the issue of prisoners and the situation in Gaza?
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous. This lady, this person on the screen doesn't actually understand that they will never get the hostages back if they don't respond to the demands of Hamas and the Islamic Jihad. And that is these are the instructions of the supreme leader in Iran. It is Hamas and Jihad. It is Yahya Sinwar and Abu Khalid al-Dayf and the leadership of Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and the resistance in the field who are fighting a heroic, unprecedented. This is like Greek mythology. Yahya Sinwar and Abu Khalid al-Dayf are fighting with these men from underground for 200 days, whereas the most advanced technology ever in history is attacking them on a non-stop basis. Not only the Israeli army, the US army, the French army, the British, and the most advanced technology they threw on these people in 360 square kilometers, 85,000 tons of metal and steel, and they've been able to actually continue to resist. These people don't know what they're talking about. They are confronting some of the fiercest fighters ever. And I'm not exaggerating.
Definitely
I'm giving
yes.
scientific information
and
in the history of civilization.
Exactly. And this is why these names will go down in history.
Of course, definitely.
Yes. Moving now to the southern Lebanese front opened by Hezbollah in support of Gaza and the resistance and its people, where the strikes received by the occupying army have become more painful. We have noticed an increase in the frequency of the painful qualitative operations as happened at the military site, as we know, of Aramsha. How do you respond to what is happening?
Well, you know, this video and these statements and the previous video, they are talking about restoring the power of Israel and the capacity of Israel to deter its enemies or to deter us. This is absolutely ridiculous. They've been doing this for 200 days. They've been doing this for 75 years, trying to deter the resistance and trying to think that there is a violent solution by them scaring their neighbors, you know, instilling fear and terror, and terrorizing the whole region. That's how Israel can be a safe place, by terrorizing others. That's what they're saying. What is it that the general said in the previous video? He said that we must work on restoring deterrence because it's not working anymore, and Iran dared to do what it wouldn't have dared to do before, and the Palestinians did on October 7 what they wouldn't have dared to do before, and the resistance in northern occupied Palestine is doing what it never dared to do before. Well, I have news that this is going to continue. And this Israeli criminal entity doing a genocide, and the genocide itself is never, ever going to be considered as a deterrent. The resistance will continue as it continued for 75 years. What part of this sentence do the Israelis not understand? It's because they have a criminal mind, and a criminal mind is incapable of thinking otherwise.
Zionist social media reacted strongly to this issue, and here are some sarcastic comments about the absolute victory that Netanyahu spoke of. A
gum. We lost. They returned to these shores. Brothers were killed there. Here, 600 soldiers were killed and their families do not sleep at night. Tal, 133 abducted are suffocating, suffering in the tunnels, and the residents of Gaza celebrate on the beach. There are no words to describe this. Shahaf, I have a lot of shame from this war. How humiliating and unpatriotic. Nicole, the war is over. We lost. Anne, a complete victory, but it's not ours.
Doctor, very briefly, what are the implications of acknowledging that Hamas, even after more than half a year of aggression, still governs Gaza and has not undermined its authority?
Well, they're saying that Hamas controls Gaza. No, it's not true. The Palestinian people control Gaza and the Palestinian people support Hamas. That is the right way to say it. It is not that Hamas is actually doing like a despotic regime in Gaza. These people and the people of Gaza had ample all the opportunity to break away from Hamas. They hold on to the resistance and they hold on to the leadership. And Yahya Sinwar is and Abu Khalid Daif are the ones to make a huge breakthrough. And every Israeli will remember these two names.
Definitely a great way to end off today. I'd like to go ahead and thank Dr. Omar Nashabi, political analyst, for joining us today. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Till next time, salam.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 74 of Surah An-Nisa on page
89.
Brothers and sisters, the same as our brothers here, Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, they have opened their Quran, looking at the Quran. The same as them, please open your Quran, look at the Quran, Ayah 74 of Surah An-Nisa on page 89. Let's everybody listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
Very good recitation, mashallah. Loveless the reciter. So I will just read once. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, okay? A very short explanation, then quickly we'll jump to the practical tajweed rules. Fine?
Yes.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty says in this ayah, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. So, what does Allah Almighty say? Allah Almighty says, let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. And whoever fights in the way of Allah and then is slain, okay, or he subdues the enemy, okay, soon we shall give him a great reward. Sometimes, look, it talks about the jihad, like jihad is one of the furu'uddin, right? And the sixth furu'uddin, salat, sawm, hajj, zakat, khums, jihad, amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. So this furu'uddin, the branches of the religion, so the practical part of our religion, okay, these are the most important ones. Now jihad means, basically means fighting or struggling in the way of Allah Almighty. Alright, we have like other types of jihad as well. Like you what? You go and study, struggle in the way of Allah, study the religious teachings, okay, like you're doing. You learn and then you spread the knowledge, the message of Islam. This is also jihad. So for us, okay, students like you and me, the best jihad for us is now to study and learn and learn, then spread the knowledge, the message of Islam. That's the best jihad for us, okay? And whoever dies in this way, passes away, okay? He will be counted as shaheed. He will get the reward of shaheed. Not the shaheed who is martyred in the battlefield, okay? With the imam, no. But he will get the reward of shaheed, inshallah, okay? In the Jannah, he will have a high position. Okay, so there are a lot of things about shaheed. Let's get back to the topic. Allah Almighty says, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Let those fight in the way of Allah. So, this is not easy to fight in the way of Allah. This is not easy to sacrifice yourself for someone. Okay? It needs what? What does it need? It needs you to have a strong, faith. Iman. It needs you to have a strong belief in Islam, in Allah Almighty. It needs you to strongly believe that the day of judgment exists, that you will be rewarded. Yeah? Right? So that's why the shuhada that we have during the history, in the battle of, in the history of Islam, and also in the history of Islamic Republic of Iran, okay? So they had this understanding. First point. Second point, don't think that Allah Almighty does not reward you. No. He is going to reward you. Allah Almighty says, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Not a simple reward. أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. عَظِيمًا. Let's look at Allah Almighty. How عَظِيم, how great He Himself is. Okay? He'll get the reward. In the greatness of Himself. Okay? In that size. So, these points we mentioned, they are enough. So we'll move on to the Tajweed rules. But our brothers and sisters must know that, inshallah, for details, for more information, the full, the complete information, inshallah, go and learn from the Tafasir books. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا. فواد حسن حسين علي ناصر. I hope you've learned something, our brothers and sisters. Any questions in this part?
No.
Nothing? Hassan?
No, sir.
No questions? All right. Let's move on to our Tajweed rules, the practical ones. We'll mention, inshallah, some of them. The very first important point is actually the heavy letters and light letters we have to know, okay? There are 8 letters which are pronounced heavily, with an A sound. A. This A sound is called heavy sound. This A sound is called light sound. So the letters which we will mention, and we will say that they are heavily pronounced, you must pronounce them with an A sound or A sound.
A
sound. A sound. Like what? The letter. Uh-huh, Fawad can name them.
Ta.
Ta.
Qaf.
Qaf. Ra.
Sometimes Ra.
Ra, sometimes, yeah. With an alif, it's always, yes? That one. Kha. Uh-huh. Sad.
Ayn.
Dad. Ghain. Ghain is Ayn, no, Ghain. So, let's say in order. Kha. Ra. Sad. Dad. Ta. Ra. Ghain. Qaf. So these 8 letters, they are pronounced heavily. So for example, here, the letter Qaf is there. Whenever they have Fatha or Alif, Mad, A sound, okay? فَلْيُقَاتِلْ. This, look, قَاتِلْ. You don't read it. فَلْيُقَاتِلْ. So this is a heavy letter. The rest of the letters are pronounced lightly, and if you pronounce them heavily, this becomes a mistake. What for? For example, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. While you don't have to pronounce a lot here, this way, yes? Or الَّذِينَ يَشْرُونَ, sorry, يَشْرُونَ الْحَيَا حَيَاتَ. If you say حَيَاتَ, this changes to a kind of Persian accent, which is not Arabic. First point, important point here. Second point is actually about the rule of stopping. When you stop, you must pay attention to the stopping signs, if you have. Okay? If you have stopping signs. Can you name some of the stopping signs? Huh?
Jim.
Jim. All right. Here we have a jim, a baby jim on the top. Okay?
Qila.
Qila. All right?
Sila.
Sila. And next one?
At the end of the verses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the verse ends. Yeah, that's correct. A stopping. That's the station, of course.
Yeah.
Mim. Mim means don't stop. Stop. It means.
Oh, yeah.
Mim means stop. You must stop.
La.
Mim. La means?
Do not stop.
Do not stop. Oh, okay. These kind of stopping signs. Or we got the three dots, which is called Waqful Mu'anaqa. This three dots, okay? Six dots, actually. 3-1. 3-1 here.
Yeah.
So, these are the stopping signs. Jim says it's, huh?
Jaiz.
Jaiz, it's okay. You stop or continue. If you're running out of red, stop, stop, stop. Okay? The pump station is here. Pump yourself, okay? Get energy. Take a deep breath, then continue, okay? Or if you want to go, just with one speed up, okay? Just go. Accelerate. Move on. That's all. Then the next point is here about Tajweed rule, Tanween and Noon Sakin. The rules for Tanween and Noon Sakin. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ changes to وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ. The Noon is merged into the Ya as if it's omitted. Okay? The Ya is doubled. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقْتَلْ. So here. Qalqala. Whenever these 5 letters appear sakin, you must pronounce a bouncing sound or echoing sound. I didn't know, sir. Could you help us with those letters?
Qaf.
Qaf.
Ta.
Ta.
Ba.
Ba.
Jim.
Jim
and Dal.
Dal. So these 5 letters, whenever they appear sakin, read them with an echoing sound. Fal. Yuqo. Fal. Yuqo. Yuqo. Do not read it yuqa. No. Yuqa. It's not a vowel sound. A-E-U-N-O. It's a short one. Like, yeah. It's just a jumping one. Fayuqa. Fayuqa. Tal. Aw yaglib. Yaglib is a heavy letter. The ghain. So you pronounce it heavily. Aw yaglib. Not yaglib. No. Yaglib. Got it? فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. The tanween plus عَيْن. So, changes nothing, yeah? Just
yes.
Read it the way it is. Ready to recite now after me? We've
yes.
Mentioned the Tajweed rules. Okay. Brothers and sisters, listen please and repeat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة
فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة
ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما
ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope, inshallah, this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle, inshallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahireen.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.